Hi, this is Ramsey with the show Hi Kifak Safa. It is about 4 p.m. here on KZSU 90.1 FM, and this is your weekly show called Hi Kifak Safa. It's, as the title implies, the show attempts to kind of center on the popular greeting in Lebanon, or maybe the most popular greeting in Beirut especially, where English, French, and Arabic tend to intersect. So this show, in its own way, tends to play music that centers from Lebanon and use Lebanon as a focal point to launch a, musical journey through the Arab world, and hopefully we'll be bringing you some interviews this season. This is the third episode of the second season here on KZSU. My name is Ramsey, and I will be with you every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. for this show. I hope you'll tune in. We are also streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And as I promised, every week I'm going to try to bring you an exclusive interview with some of the most amazing Lebanese artists that you've ever heard of, seen, or not heard of, or never seen. The show, this is because over the summer, I had the opportunity of visiting Beirut, Lebanon, where I conducted exclusive interviews with many artists, singers, writers. Last week, we had our exclusive interview with Lebanese singer Tanya Saleh, and we highlighted her album, Wehde, which really was the album of the summer in Lebanon, at least. And this week, I'm going to be bringing in my exclusive interview with Lebanese author Ra'fat Majzoub, whose book has been that was the buzz of the summer in terms of the book. The book is called Fetish Systems, and as its title implies, it's a very daring book written in English by this Lebanese author. And he was kind enough, he's actually quite a young man in his 20s, and he has published this amazing book. We had discussed the book back in the spring, during the first season of my show. We'd even read excerpts from that amazing piece of work. And so I was delighted to actually sit down with Ra'fat Majzoub and discuss with him the motivation for writing the book, what the book is actually about, and what motivated him to write such a daring book in an area of the world that is often seen as repressive, or perhaps one where there is not a real indication of freedom of speech. So you might be very pleasantly surprised, or I hope you will be pleasantly surprised, by the way Ra'fat Majzoub responded to my questions. He was quite candid in terms of speaking about his achievements and his book and the reception of the Lebanese people to his book, which, again, problematically or not, was written in English and contributed much to a discourse that centers on matters pertaining to sexuality in the Arab world as well as, specifically in Lebanon. But before we go to all that, I wanted to say again, hi, Kifak Sava. Hello to everybody out there. Hope you're having a good afternoon here on KZSU 90.1 FM. And before we launch into the first song, I would like to let everyone know that the World Turtle Trust is dedicated to protecting the world's population of sea turtles. They are currently engaged in funding research and conservation projects in Hawaii, Costa Rica, India, and Sierra Leone. You can help support their efforts or find out how you can get involved by visiting worldturtletrust.org. That's world-turtle-trust.org. This is KZSU 90.1 FM. The show is Hi Kifak Sava. I am your DJ Ramsey with you until 6 p.m. And let's start with our first Arabic artist of the day. Here we go with Reem Banna. Thank you.
كانت ضحكتها تغطي تغطي سماء فلسطين. كانت سارة ساراي تدرج أولى خطواتها على تراب فلسطين. وكانت ضحكتها تغطي تغطي سماء فلسطين. غافلها القناص بطلقة في الرأس في رأس سارة الصغير. غافلها القناص بطلقة في الرأس في رأس سارة الصغير.
That was Reem Benna and a song titled Sara. The song is from her album Arrawa'a, which kind of translates into greatest songs or all her greatest masterpieces. A sort of a sad song and a commentary on children who are often caught in the crossfire in the tumultuous land of the Middle East, and due to the conflicts there and the tragic losses of life that often happen. The song detailed the story of a little girl named Sarah caught in a conflict, and sort of a sad commentary on children growing up in a state of tension and of war, hopefully with the message of peace and tolerance among all in the Middle East and elsewhere. Rimbanna and the song Sara started our show for today here on the High Key Faksava show. I'm your DJ Ramsey, and as I was saying at the beginning of the show, I had the opportunity of actually traveling to Beirut, Lebanon this summer, and this was sort of a historic trip for me, because I was born and raised there many decades ago, and I hadn't really been back in so long, so I was quite surprised by the, or pleasantly surprised by the vibrant nature of Beirut, the flourishing arts there, music scene, and the literary scene. And one of those writers who I got to meet, his name is Rafat Majzoub. And Rafat Majzoub is a controversial writer, to say the least. He wrote a book called Fetish Systems, of course. And that book we had discussed during my show back in the spring, but I hadn't met Mr. Majzoub at that time. Rafat Majzoub, who lives in Lebanon between Beirut and Trablus, and established a studio for him to work without necessarily being under the umbrella of a genre rationale. He is trained as an architect, yet refuses the title. He is currently working on several construction projects, a few books, something that might be a painting, a table, and would like his bio to end with an etc. Well, that's as significant as anything in terms of speaking about Rafat Majzoub and his work. The book Fetish System was published in English and is an autobiographical love letter of impotence. It is the pompous imaginary grace after a hysterical loss of everything, the stepping out of self to look at it from a third-person perspective, only to step back and narrate a processed first-person disjunct epiphany. The narrator refuses a present tense, hence starts nowhere to end nowhere, in avoidance to admit, in search of an alternative to the optical reception of the real, shies back into itself, into words, not language, to weave a non-place where everything comes to go. The book Fetish System is quite a read. I strongly encourage everybody out there, especially anybody who's into sort of subversive literature, to read this book, published by Author House. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I had the pleasure of sitting with Rafat Majzoub in person in Beirut. It was quite a meeting and quite an interview. We were sitting by the Mediterranean and sipping some tea and discussing the state of the political and social sort of status quo in Lebanon at the time. This was taped over the summer, so a couple of months ago, summer of 2011 in Beirut, Lebanon. So without further ado, I think we should just segue into the interview with Rafat Majzoub. I urge you all to check out his book, which is called Fetish Systems. The book is available on most internet websites. Simply do an internet search, and the book should come up quite easily. Rafat Majzoub, spelled R-A-A-F-A-T, that's the first name. The last name is Majzoub, spelled M-A-J-Z-O. Well, let me make sure I'm spelling it correctly here. Yes, M-A-J-Z-O-U-B. J-Z-O-U-B. Rafat Majzoub, the book is Fetish System. And here is my exclusive interview with Rafat, taped this summer by the Mediterranean in Beirut, Lebanon. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that through his answers, you will get a better idea, as I did, of the current literary scene in Lebanon and what books people are reading over there. Here's my exclusive interview with Rafat Majzoub here on KZSU 90.1 FM, streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu on the High Kifak Sava Show. So I'm here in Beirut, Lebanon, sitting by the Mediterranean Sea with the author of Fetish Systems, a book that our listeners are very familiar with. Rafat Majzoub is sitting right here with me, lighting a cigarette as he looks over at the Mediterranean. He's agreed to a sort of an unofficial interview with me, a sort of relaxed interview by the seaside. Marhaba, ya Rafat, welcome to the show.
Hello.
You know that when I did the segment on your book the last time, we had a lot of people calling in, asking about this book, asking about the author. There is a certain mystique, there is a certain denial in people about the existence of this book and the way it's been placed. I'm wondering if you could first of all categorize it. And you know, people want to work in categories, and of course your book cannot be categorized. But how would you describe it to an ingenue or to Joe Schmo?
I hate this question. One. Two. It's... actually, we can skip to another question. I can just say fiction, non-fiction, because it still doesn't work. It's a collection of things written non-linearly, non-whatever. It wasn't written as a book. It was written as pieces, then connected, and...
I know you hate the question because I've heard you respond similarly in other interviews. I guess my question is, how do you respond to people who ask me that question?
Actually,
I don't
like
want to respond for you.
The first time I showed the manuscript to one of my English teachers, she was like, this book will never be published because they would not know on what shelf they would put it in a library. So I'm guessing it's being put with the Lebanese fiction nowadays, so I don't think it really works that way, but it's one of those things that you have Arabic writers writing in English, and they're just not placed anywhere. They just want to reach some kind of market or whatever. So it's put in a sort of, like, niche, like, I don't know, third world literature or something, like, peeking into that shit.
And the reason I'm asking is because of interest within the Stanford Academy to use your book, and it's so... be surprised to know that women's studies and queer theory departments.
Actually, that was a question. That was a question that I was asked in one of the interviews I sent that a while back. Who would be interested, men or women, with your writing? I found that a very confusing question.
Yeah,
because it didn't make sense. I mean, it wasn't written for gender-specific audience. It's just written by a guy. It's a book. It's.
And this surprises you that women's studies have sort of jumped on this book.
Because, yeah, but I think it works, it makes sense somehow, because women's studies are very connected with the sexuality versus like gender issues, blurring out, yet not blurring out. We want a category, we want rights, no, we want some kind of say and something. I'm not very in tune with feminism or women's studies or such that. I think it just pushes things in the wrong direction. Although maybe you would actually need that to reach somewhere better, but yeah, so technically I wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, how has the book been received in Lebanon first, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about outside of Lebanon?
Yeah. It's been, like, the reviews I can get are reviews from people that I sort of know or know through other people and that kind of thing. And it was, some people did not finish it, some people liked it, some people had mixed reviews. Actually, the reviews were very funny. Like, everyone would interpret everything according to whatever they have already in mind. So that was, it was more fun than writing it, like, listening to what people thought about it. So that was pretty cool. There was not, like, harsh, bad reviews, but they were weird reviews, like, I think you should simplify your writing, or you should make it more reachable to the general audience, which is not really the point of writing a book. Personally, so no, that's one of the weird ones. That's pretty much it. I've been having fun with people taking pictures with my book. It's been a thrill.
Yeah. But is it sort of, I mean, it's definitely not a mainstream book, but do you feel like
it is sort of having an impact even on an underground kind of...
Well, level? Not that much, actually. I mean, I expected more of a reaction towards it, a harsh reaction. It's been a sort of mellow reaction. I'm not sure if people are not reading it, not liking it, or simply just... I'm not sure. But it's not, like, a reaction that I would have wanted in Utopia.
What would be the reaction that you would have...
An actual conversation about the book as opposed to a commentary.
And that's not happening right now?
Not really. Like, what did you mean is not a conversation. A reaction would be a conversation.
But isn't that where maybe using it in a course like post-colonial theory or gender studies or women's
that
studies
might be, yeah.
would generate the very discourse that you're attempting to broach?
Well, yeah. But the fact that it's programmed discourse makes it a bit funny. But nevertheless, it's kind of cool, yeah, having it discussed. But when you put someone in front of a specific book and telling them to discuss this book, it negates the fact that they actually chose it and started to read it willingly. But as long as it generates anything, any kind of conversation, that would be interesting.
And Fetish Systems is your first book.
Yeah.
Or your premier effort, because one, you are not necessarily a full-time writer.
Yeah.
And number two, you've kind of are feeling your way around this new career.
It's not a career. It's not by any means, and will never be a career, because careers in general are not very appealing to me. They just sit you in.
So it would take the fun out of writing for you if you thought of
a career would take the fun out of anything.
Well, as an interviewer, I don't want to put my biases in this, but when I read the book, it blew me away, and my first reaction was, why not do this full time?
Yeah.
Can you explain maybe to at least our listeners here at KZSU 90.1 FM, at Stanford, and maybe in the U.S. in general, why in Lebanon someone who is able to write, produce, challenge, create, is still not able to live off that?
I think it works not just in writing, it works with any kind of business or career or whatever, because if something doesn't really generate a lot of money, no one's interested to sponsor it to start out with. So you would sort of have your own capital and just jump into it and hope for the best. I mean, some of the responses I got from publishing houses were, okay, this is not too mainstream, we're not sure this would sell, or we're not sure where to put it, or things like that. So you wouldn't really expect that from a business, from an industry, to adopt something that would not generate money out of it. So, and you wouldn't expect in turn to live off something like that, except if it's like this magic benevolent that wants you to write and there be like patterns of writing, but this doesn't exist anymore, anywhere, it's not just here.
And you're an architect by trade, let's say. Was there any way in which your chosen field sort of affected or influenced your writing or your mode of writing?
Well, everything you do affects you somehow, but I don't think there's a direct link between that, this and that. Because I think architecture, what's interesting about architecture is that it's an expressive language. It's spatial. It's interesting in that sense. But as I was telling you earlier, it's... becomes sort of redundantly stupid. So it's not really my real expertise in architecture that led to writing Fetishism the way it's written. Maybe it's the thinking somehow, it's exposure to another mode of expression somehow, but I don't think there's a direct link between this and that. It doesn't work this way.
But at the risk of sounding binary, you sound like a little bit schizophrenic. Like, do you have sort of two personalities in terms of this is Rafat the architect, this is Rafat the other?
Well, not tangibly. But it depends on whatever you're doing. You just adopt some kind of persona that would facilitate doing something. It's not it's not switching between this and that. When you're dealing with specific people, you need to read how they would react and read what they are and what they expect out of you, and then you would do that accordingly. I can't go to my site and just say, hey guys, let's talk about existentialist whatever. They just need to know how much to put where and how, and this is what they need. So to cater to that, I have to be that person. But to cater to writing a book, I would just do that. It's not switching personas, it's just adapting to whatever you're doing. And the fact that I want to do both makes me want to adapt to both. That's all.
Do you envision yourself doing both? for a while now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not a person that would actually settle on something and do it for the rest of my life. It's just the like fetish systems happen because of situation. It was a specific situation and fetish systems started. And that was that. And situation ended, so fetish systems ended. And then I published it, maybe to prove a point, maybe not to prove a point. Maybe I just wanted to get things off my hard drive and get it out there. But that's it. It's very... it's case per case. Like architecture now is... I'm doing that just to fund whatever I want to do other than architecture. It's, I'm not doing it for the thrill of it because the reality of architecture is not thrilling.
And the situation you mentioned that led to the... to the new journey. Are you comfortable discussing that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't mind as long as I censor part of whatever according.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the thing is, no, it's just I think fetish systems was one, proving a point, two, venting, and thus, and the conversation with a person that wouldn't actually listen to me talking. It just wouldn't sit down for me to explain everything and just would sort of take things for, not for granted, think things, okay, now I'm short on words. Let's say you want to converse with someone on something and you say a couple of words, then the couple of words don't actually reach the someone, the connotation of these words according to this person's head. Just trigger something else and the misunderstanding happens. I don't believe in communication in general because communication is like I throw words at you and whatever these words are, you'll figure that out and that reply to whatever you understood of what I said, and it's not really what I said in the first place. So I thought a package would do, like a package from start to end. I would set the mood and let this person get stuck in the mood and then I'll just throw him. And this is sort of what happened. I'm still not sure if this person read the book or will ever read the book or is interested to read the book, but when it comes to me, I sort of did my part of the conversation and I'm over with it.
And once you launch the book out into space, yani khalas, it's out there in the world, and you can do nothing to bring it back. It's out there now.
Yeah.
Do you regret having published it? Do you wish you had done it differently? Or are you pretty much, you've set it free and now it's flying on its own?
I think it's fine. I mean, it took an uncomfortable place to actually do fetish systems and finish it and just throw it out. And I think I'm better off with it out there. So if not, it's just going to be one of the things on my shoulders, like walking around me everywhere. Now it's just out there. I don't really own it. Just there. And if anyone picks it up, it's good. If no one picks it up, it's out there. And that's all.
Well, I have two more questions that come to my mind, which I've gotten a lot through phone calls. And, of course, they're kind of the basic questions you would expect. But in terms of literary influences, genres, writers, Western, Eastern, are there any specific writers or literary genres that informs your writing or thinking process?
Well, I'm not that much of a disciplined reader. I start books and then they bore me and then I stop and then I start other books and switch between books. And I can't handle complete books because I can't take the structure of books, like narratives, for example, and things that take you from one place to another and then characters that you don't give a shit about, you have to read, and then weird names. It's just a lot of accessories to books in general to me. But I'm very biased to Rabi Alamdin. I'm in love with the dude, so yeah, he is one of the best. I think because at least I was able to start and not stop until the book was done, and then I was in this mood for like a week after reading the book.
Are you speaking about the book Kool-Aids?
I'm speaking of Kool-Aids and Hakawati. I didn't read either Divine because it's either out of print. I never found it. I should fetch it from someone that has it. But Kool-Aids was the major... thing. It was such a good book and structuring it was so good. The story was really nice. Hakawati for me was not as good, but it was like churning up everything Arabic into something exoticized and throwing it into a weird machine of bookery or whatever. It's just crazy. But Kool-Aids had more impact. Hakawati was entertaining. Kool-Aids was terrifyingly mad, but so very good. I was told to read Virginia Woolf, so I'm doing that. But at some points it's like fighting, where they're like, she says a couple of things and I'm not sure why the literature is phrased as it is, and sometimes it just goes abroad. I like what she says about her work more than her work. Like, I write to tone, not to plot, whatever, the music of the... Which, okay, I get, but actually, to actually finish it, I'm not sure. Like, I stopped reading Orlando a while back.
It's funny that you mentioned Virginia Woolf, because A Room of One's Own kind of is reminiscent, although there are certain passages, I think, in Pettit's system that seem to kind of not be based on that, but be influenced by that kind of writing style, maybe subconsciously.
Yeah, because I've never read her before I wrote Fetishism, so a couple of people that read Fetishism told me to read Virginia Woolf, that I would love her. When someone tells me that, I'm not really intrigued to read this person, because I know you would love her is not something that's entertaining for me. So, but I did pick her up, because like that was 3-4, okay, read Virginia Woolf. And I started doing that, but I'm telling you, like, I enjoy what she says about her work more than the actual work. And it's, yeah.
I see. And the last question, of course, is what's in the future for Rafat Masood? What's in the works? Anything? We hope to bring him to Stanford, of course. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I would do want to say during the show, because the response has been phenomenal, mainly from puzzled people who turn into inquiring minds. But what is the next for you, Rafat?
Rafat has no clue. I've been trying to write for a while, but it wasn't ever like, I would never try to write something, but now I felt obligated to actually sit and try to write something, which is just screwing everything up for me. So I started writing a little children's book a while back.
Oh, wow.
And it's part of it is published in an anthology for children something. And that was pretty interesting. I want to continue that. I don't know how, whether it would be illustrated or not, if I would want to partner up with someone else to actually work on it. I'd want to do that. Other than that, I'm looking for some kind of other situation that would be intense enough for me to write something else, or not write something else, do some whatever.
So it's textual in nature you're looking at, let's say, or would we be off to say it could be a film, it could be another visual
Definitely,
medium?
But that would sprout out somehow out of something written. If it's like, I find it very easy to express verbally. So that would be my comfort zone into jumping into something else that I don't have a clue about. But at least to communicate an idea, I would start up verbally. And then check out the mood, check out whatever happens, and then try to work that out. But like, something specific in the horizon, I have no clue.
The author is Rafat Masood. The book is Fetish Systems. And Rafat, before I let you go, I know that this has been a problem with people ordering the book. Is there a website set up now that people can go to in order to order it or get info on it?
Antoine Online is basically what I would suggest people to. It's basically the only online portal for this version of the book.
Antoine being a library bookstore here in Beirut.
Yeah.
And so AntoineOnline.com would be their website.
Yeah, so their database is available online, and they would order that. And they have a good supply of books, so they wouldn't actually delay the order.
So Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Amazon, I've heard.
I mean, it's on there.
Yeah, I know. I've heard of a lot of people trying to order from Amazon. It's been taking like a month to get there. It's sort of impractical. You would forget you would actually want to read the book. So I don't really favor that. Plus, the Amazon is another edition of the book. It was published in the UK as the first edition, and I lost complete track of how it's being printed and everything. So I wouldn't, I wouldn't recommend that for more than one reason. Yeah.
Okay, so it seems like Antoine Online is still the best source and the most reliable source.
Unless I find something else that's more interesting, it's Antoine.
Well, wanted to thank you so much for giving me this time. I've gotten to know you over this trip, and I have been disappointed. In fact, I have been catapulted into another universe. I'm very happy to meet you here in Beirut, sitting by the Mediterranean. We hope to have you at Stanford personally in the fall. So will you think about coming in and speaking to our students and perhaps giving a lecture?
Definitely. I told you my terms. I'm not sure I can say them on the radio, but you have my terms.
Okay. Well, the terms shall remain undisclosed.
Mysterious.
Mysterious.
Yes.
But we hope to have you there. And you've got quite a readership at Stanford and quite a following at this point.
That's good.
So hopefully you will come and let us spoil you the way you spoiled us in Lebanon.
Oh, I would love that.
You're
welcome.
And good luck to you.
Bye-bye.
That was my exclusive interview with Lebanese author Ra'fat Majzoub, conducted over the summer, this past summer in Beirut. Interference in the sound that you might have heard were actually the waves of the Mediterranean in the background, hopefully adding an ambiance to a book that has been quite challenging for many to read. The book is called Fetish Systems. It was published by Lebanese author Ra'fat Majzoub. I'll be reading a little excerpt from the book later on in the show. But in the meantime, I wanted everyone to know that this is the Haiki Faksava show. I'm your DJ Ramsey with you every Thursday from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. I hope you've enjoyed my exclusive interview with Ra'fat Majzoub. By all means, check out his book if you are in the market for reading. Beyond that, let me just say that I was really delighted to meet with this exceptional young man, an architect by trade and certainly a gifted writer. The book Fetish System continues to challenge my mind, and every time I read it, I find myself getting a whole new layer that I never realized was there. Ra'fat Majzoub and Fetish Systems was the exclusive interview for the Haiki Faksava show this week. Tune in next week for more exclusive interviews with Lebanese artists, singers, etc. People who are really doing amazing work in Lebanon and whose work sort of goes unnoticed in the West. So hopefully this show will in some way help open up people's minds to a literature and a canon of works and music from Lebanon that often seems to go unnoticed here in the States and in the West in general. Before I go on to some of the music that many of you tune in to hear, the International Committee of the Red Cross and Red Crescent is an impartial, neutral, and independent humanitarian organization. It protects the lives and dignity of victims of war and internal violence and coordinates international relief activities. The ICRC also seeks to prevent suffering by promoting and strengthening humanitarian laws and principles. For more information or to donate, please visit www.icrc.org. That's www.icrc.org. The show is Haiki Faksava, and I'm your DJ Ramsey. I'll be with you until 6 p.m. It is now 4:35 p.m. here on KZSU. And one last word before I go on to the musical selections of the day is that if you like this kind of music that I've been playing or would like to expand your boundaries about world music and specifically Arabic music, feel free to check out the Mediterraneans show. The show is called Mediterraneans and it airs every Thursday. That's the same day as my show here, from noon until 2 p.m. with your DJ host Abu Ramses. The show Mediterraneans features all genres of music from the Middle East, North Africa, and their diasporas, classical Andalusian, Sufi instrumentals, modern Arab classics, contemporary Arabic and Turkish pop stars, rai, and modern instruments such as the oud and the kanun. So if you're interested in this, tune in for Abu Ramses and his show Mediterranean here on KZSU 90.1 FM every Thursday from noon until 2 p.m. My show, of course, Haiki Faksava, comes to you on every Thursday as well, only from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. here on KZSU 90.1 FM. We are streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu, and I think it's about time we move on with the actual music of the show. Here is Hassan Raji.
I'm gonna do it. مصرف آلي بس العجار يا خيئي صاير سوبر غالي زوجني أقرأ إنجلز في سريري تباح الخروف قصم وزع شريري زوجني أقرأ إنجلز في سريري تباح الخروف قصم وزع شريري بس مش غلط الحل رومانسي بس مش غلط حبك كسرة القطاع الخاص بس مش غلط حبك كسرة
بركي بيفتح راسه بركي بيفرق وشه بيضحك دموع